Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to share with you what's going on in the Middle East. And this is the fourth session today, so feel free to sleep or think about anything else. It's okay. I would like to give you a short overview quickly about the people who live in the Middle East, because many people think that all of the people are the same, are Arabs and Muslims, and it's not the case. I'll give you a rough estimates about the numbers of people living in the Middle East. In general, the nominal Christians in the Middle East differs between a country and a country. Some countries, there is less than 1% nominal Christians, other 5%, some 10%, like Egypt, Lebanon, 40%. And these people are not Muslim converts, they are Arab Christians from the first century. So it's good to know about them, though Lebanon population is just 4 million, so they are not big numbers. In total, there is around 15 million nominal Christians in the Middle East. This is a big number, but when you see that a couple of thousands only are evangelicals. So this shows that we need to do a lot of work, and many things is going on, especially politically, due to the war and different kind of wars going on. I'll start by telling you a major thing going on now that you hear about a lot, something called ISIS. Have you heard about them? I would like to tell you what's going on quickly. A major source of conflict in the Muslim Middle East area is the divisive nature between the two main sects among Islam, Sunni and Shia. There is two main sects. Sunnis are the largest branch of Islam and dominates most countries in the Middle East. Shia have their largest populations in Iran, Iraq, and Lebanon. ISIS is a Sunni extreme branch, very similar to Al-Qaeda in ideology, wanting to establish their religious rule all over, starting with Iraq and Syria. After the fall of Saddam Hussein's secular regime in Iraq and the current revolt against Assad's secular regime in Syria, by the way, both were very tolerant and protective to the Christian community, a new and dark era began. Something that ISIS is an organization that attacked just Christians. You need to understand that it's an internal war between two Muslim sects. The current political status, 15 April 2015, The Guardian paper wrote, at least you'll trust something I say now. Islamic extremism has taken persecution to a new level. Christianity is under siege in the very place where it was born. Hundreds of thousands of Christians have fled Iraq and Syria in the face of Islamic extremism and conflict. Christianity is hanging by a thread and may not survive in some places. Some Christians said that after the brutality they had suffered and witnessed, they feared that relations with their Muslim neighbors could never be restored. This is a very disturbing report. The same story is repeated across the Middle East, where the Arab Spring unleashed forces that turned against authoritarian leaders and the Christians they once protected. In Syria, a village called Ma'lula, where 3,000 Christians live, fled during battles between government forces and Islamic militants. The ancient place of pilgrimage is one of only three places in the world where people there still speak Aramaic, the language Jesus of Nazareth spoke. Some of the oldest Christian communities in the world are disappearing, in the very lands where their faith was born and first took root. From 2 million Iraqi professed Christians, 200,000 are left in desperate situation. Western embassies are facilitating immigration to Christians fleeing and uncertain of their future. Christianity remains only a force in Lebanon. Now it's the hub where these refugees arrive and wait for their last destiny. Prince Charles, also I think you're gonna take it seriously, has described threats to Christians in the Middle East as an indescribable tragedy. It is far away from any exaggeration to say that the world is preparing Christians once again to be sheep for slaughter. ISIS had already issued a warning to Iraqi Christian population, and these are written handouts, that they either convert, pay extra taxes, or be killed. Single women are forced to participate in immoral acts as part of the jihad practices. Currently, ISIS is still expanding, and they are now occupying some Lebanese territory on the border with Syria and have already kidnapped and killed Lebanese soldiers and are seriously threatening villages and towns around. When we do our services, the government send us army soldiers to protect us while we meet and worship. ISIS occupies now 40% of Iraq, 50% of Syria, a small part of Lebanon, and now, 2 weeks ago, they started being very active in Egypt, and backed up by devoted Muslims from more than 70 countries. Lately, Baghdad and Syria made it to the top 10 most dangerous places in the world to live in, and Lebanon and other Arab countries are not far away in this list. That's why I'm enjoying my time here. But there are very good news, lot of good news. One, across the world, Christians remain the most persecuted religious minority, while Muslim countries predominate among states with the most serious violations of religious freedom. Isn't this an amazing fact? Or is it an amazing sign? I see this as good news. Two, there is a revival in the Muslim world. Millions of former Muslims have converted to Christianity in the past 2 decades. Extraordinary stories about the massive number of Muslims converting to Christianity are appearing around the world, and we're witnessing this daily. Like never before, the gospel is being proclaimed with greater effectiveness. Satan is working hard, but our Christ is smiling and successfully finding his lost sheep. Three, the debatable alleged visions about Christ were also steps in the conversion of many from Islam to faith in Christ. At least these visions did a preparatory work for those people to listen to the gospel. This started the new debatable phenomena of Isa and Muslim dreams. Regardless where we stand on this, though we all agree, it is part of the reality of their new world now, even if we don't trust or believe definitely in these dreams, but it is part of the reality. Muhammad listened to dreams, and he gave Muslims the impression that God could speak through them. So they do listen to them, and they do talk about them a lot, for sure. We can't conclude that they're getting the gospel, but we can conclude that many are very much confused, leaving Islam and searching for something else and searching for Christ. In some instances, it did prepare some for grace. And whoever is saved later is saved by hearing and believing the words of God in the Bible only. For atrocities by the Islamic State, ISIS, are softening the hearts of Muslims to Christianity. This brutality is leading unorthodox Muslims to express their unconcealed disgust. People are ready to listen more, ready to question the religion that is causing them all this misery. Though some evangelistic techniques and technologies are proving effective, the main reason for the spike in conversions in the Middle East is simply that former Muslims are finding God is real. Both Muslim refugees to neighboring countries and internally displaced people are attending church services and are learning about Christ like never ever before. For people who have suffered such deep loss, seeing that they can pray to a personal God whom they can call Father has been the critical factor. Many of them coming from rural villages in Iraq and Syria never in their life heard about Christ, and without these atrocities they would have probably never heard. However, I personally believe that what explains the many current conversions is primarily this, something Jesus said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one shepherd. Many of the so-called Christian minorities who fled Syria and Iraq are Orthodox and Roman Catholic Syriacs, Assyrians and Armenians and others who mostly never heard of the grace of God and the meaning of regeneration. Many of these professed Christians, saved from the horrors of ISIS, are now born again Christians, saved from the horrors of idolatry and superstition. I talk about a revival in the Arabic-speaking world because it is happening all around us, all around the Arabic-speaking world and not just in the Middle East. In Algeria, after 100,000 died in Muslim-on-Muslim violence, 10,000 Muslims turned their backs on Islam and were baptized as followers of Christ. This movement has tripled since the late 1990s. A couple of months ago, I was watching Al Jazeera, the famous fundamentalist Arabic channel, and one of the imams was boasting about how Islam is advancing in Europe. But while he was speaking, suddenly he became so aggressive and angry and upset because he's warning Islam that they're losing the Arabic world. They're losing their homes. At the time of the 1979 revolution in Iran, about 500 individual Muslims were following Christ. Today, there may be several hundred thousand Christ followers, mostly worshiping in undercover Iranian house churches. Satellite broadcast evangelism is increasing and proving to be very popular. Missiologist Dave Garrison documents global surge in Muslims leading Muslims to Christ. He calls it unprecedented. What is going in the Middle East is far greater than what the media can capture or comprehend. The fight for land and power are insignificant compared to the fight for the hearts. Let them take lands as much as they want. Christ is conquering hearts. The kingdom of God is advancing as Christ promised, and the gates of hell, widely opened these days, will not ever prevail. And concerning Christians living in this boiling part of the world, we need to remember that Christians are at their best when they are persecuted, and at their worst when they are comfortable. Six, and last thing of the good news, with all this, ISIS on the border of Lebanon, Lebanon is still a base for evangelistic word. And these couple of thousand believers are doing tremendous jobs. Only Christian Arab country open to religious diversity. And we have all the sects. And in Lebanon, the Muslims are divided between Sunnis and Shia, and both have military weapons. If you heard about Hezbollah, it's completely against ISIS. And the most devastating wars is going on between Hezbollah and ISIS. And this is protecting us because they are busy. Okay. Their activity in Lebanon and Egypt is still under control, but our opportunities are huge. There was never a better time to preach and teach the grace of God to the Arabic world and the Arabic-speaking world. A couple of years before, it was totally different. Islam image was painted beautifully. Tolerance, peace, comfort. We all believe in the same God, all heavenly religions. Now, terror, darkness, excellent. Light shines more and very clear. Lot of materials and channels in the Arabic world is being broadcasted from many different sources. Lately, Dr. Master's books, we started translating them to Arabic, and hopefully also broadcasting messages to cable channels that thousands of Muslim Arabic people will listen in their own language. What was before considered like bullets in an arsenal in a war, now heavy artillery are bombing the Arabic world for the grace of God and glory of Jesus Christ. But the story is everywhere the same. And referring to what Dr. Master said in his preaching today, lots of evangelistic and charitable work lack integrity, accountability, and proper theology in the Arabic world. The immense persecution and the many needs called us to be involved, but the many fake workers call us to be discerning and wise in how and with who we should work. It's a chaos. People are opening businesses, abusing the miseries and suffering of people. We need more preachers, not traders. We need givers and not brokers. We need churches and not institutes. We need prayers and not wishes. In some special situations, we need the saving gospel and not the diluted social one, where many liberal churches jump to support and help and work during this time. Honesty and truth are always on the minority side, even under persecution, and even in relief work concerning suffering human beings. The goal for many evangelical workers is to benefit from the misery and pain of the refugees, to display for them the generosity and love of Christians, so that when they compare Christianity with Islam, they feel ashamed and shy. And then they follow Christ. Growing in numbers and starting denominational churches by using charity as a bait are a very common thing. Many so-called converts are just people fed up from their religion and are open to other alternatives and to any help they can get, but they are never born again. For the faithful minority group, the goal is to glorify God in the midst of all that. For the minority group, the ground for preaching for the majority group is psychological and social, but for the minority group, it is the cross of Jesus Christ. For the majority group, the importance is for reports and numbers, but for the minority, it is for the supremacy of God in preaching and in all activities, including charity. Honesty and truth are always on the minority side, sadly, as I stated before. But the good news is that it is on God's side. The Middle East now is very active politically and evangelically. So it is expected that the same problems that every age, time, and place where the kingdom of God is advancing, this will happen. That's why in the midst of all this, Satan fights from the outside. As it is clear from what is going on around and from the inside, by tempting faithful Christians to change their stand and compromise their faith, by reevaluating their principles to adapt to the new changes, especially in the way of proclaiming the gospel and the way of worship. We are bombarded every day by complaints and critics that say we need to be more open, more flexible. We need to understand more the ways, the methods of the people, so that we introduce to them a relevant gospel. Meetings filled with contemporary worldly music and diluted shallow messages are attracting crowds. Services based on principles like come as you are, intending it to mean that you can stay as you are. Let's celebrate Jesus. I never understand what this means ever. Who? Why? Celebrate? How? What does it mean? I don't know. Clowns, superstars, and others are leading the so-called spirit-filled new churches, taking them to a journey into the world of emotions, lies at the best, or demonic at the worst. I thank God for what the Metropolitan Tabernacle and those who fellowship with it, those what you stand and fight for, is very important. It is the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of God. It is true Christianity. Our doctrines and principles are not what should be tried and tested during such radical changing times, but our faithfulness and endurance. This is what we're learning in the Arabic world. Is Christ really sufficient to do the war? Or sometimes we need more approvals from people around and more human intelligence and thinking. In conclusion, please continue to pray for the local churches that are reaching out to all these refugees, especially since there is no end in sight to this conflict at all. There are many extremely pressing issues in my country, Lebanon. The Syrian refugees reaching more than one-third of the total population. The declining economy, the increasing threats, suicide bombers are everywhere, and it's humanly impossible to stop them because they go to heaven by killing you. What you can do? Kill them? On our knees, we can do miracles. And Christ on his throne is always in control. Please continue to stand for what you believe, because it is so great. Encouragement to your brothers and sisters all over the world. A true Christian is a dead man becoming alive. Though persecution in the Middle East is one side of Satan's war, deny your faith or you will die. This is one side of persecution, and we can understand it easily, and we can stand against it. Another side is convincing people to stay dead. Also, it's clear. But a very dangerous one, a very successful one, is when Satan's apostles, very skilled in manipulating the flesh, deceive people by leading and teaching them to feel and act as if they are alive. And these will never understand the gospel of Christ. This is an overview of the Christian work in the Middle East. May God move our hearts so that we pray, participate, and at least stand for what we believe, so that the kingdom of Christ will advance, not by human power and intelligence, but by the power of God. God bless you. Would like to close by a small prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for all the opportunities that you give us to proclaim the gospel for needy, tired, sad people. We thank you for opening our eyes and hearts for the truth so that we see what we should do. We thank you because you listen to prayers. We thank you because we know Christians in the Middle East are never alone. You are with us everywhere. You are the God in control. We fear no man. We thank you. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your election. We ask you that you give us the right heart, the right mind, to do your will in these end times and to reach out to all our neighbors, to all our friends, to stand for what we believe and find people for Christ, find his people. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.